I want to start today. I just want to tell you a few things about what's happened in the weekend as we moved up to this, because every day is an important day, and we had a Maundy Thursday. That's what it's called in the Bible, not Monday, Maundy, M-A-U-N-D-Y, and it's that last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, and he told them something. He broke bread with them. He washed their feet. And then he gives them this commandment. He says in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you. And not that he hadn't shared it before. He'd shared it a lot. But he says, I want to renew it in your heart. I want to do that today. This is Easter. This is I love these points in our lives, in the year, that we can say, this is a marker in my life where I made this decision. I made this change. And this can be today. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not with requirements. Well, I'll love you if you do this. If you'll give me that, then I'll give you this. You do this for me, then I'll do it. That's not what love is. Real love is I love you, I give to you with no desire of anything in return. He says, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, because the love you have for each other. Nothing else tells the world and the people that have never heard the gospel, nothing tells it to them any greater than by you and I showing love to somebody. You can have a chain around your neck, a bumper sticker. You can wear a Christian t-shirt. I'm not against any of it. But if you don't show love, you're not showing it and nobody's listening. And then on Good Friday, I shared from Isaiah 53. What a beautiful set of scriptures that Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus. And he says in verse 4, 5, and 6, he says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so many beautiful things that the cross represents there. How he, when he shed his blood and he gave his life, he paid for the penalty of our sin. He gave us peace. If you're here today and you can't sleep at night, or you go through times where the fear has gripped you, I want you to know that the experience that you can have with Christ today, that can change in your life because of what he did at the cross. He will give you, the Bible says, perfect peace. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not the peace the world gives. You can't get it out of a bottle or a package or a bag or a jar or a bottle. He says, my peace I give unto you. And Jesus will give you that peace. He also said that the iniquity, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, that iniquity, that word is always, it's always caught my attention, because all of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there is this iniquitous nature inside of people that continually draws us down this pathway that is unhealthy for us. Am I the only one that's ever had this happen, or are you going to leave me hanging out to dry here? It's that pushes you in that direction. And Jesus says, I've come and I paid the price at the cross of Calvary to stop what is causing you to move in that same direction day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But it only happens when you come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you experience the fulfillment of what the cross is all about? Come on today. It's a good place for you to say a healthy amen today. And we celebrate that not only did he die for you and I, but that he rose again on the third day. And he has conquered the power of death for all. 1 Corinthians 15 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And we know that Christ can today, we can know it and we can experience this in our own personal lives, that he has taken away that sting of death. He has taken away the power of fear in our lives. He has taken away at the cross all of those things that would perplex us and plague us and cause us to go down that dark hole that we never intended to live at. And the Bible says in Romans 8:11, Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells inside of you. Jesus, the power that raised him out of the grave, he says, when you make that commitment to make him a part of your life and make him the Lord and Savior of your life, that same Spirit comes and lives inside of you and can bring life to the dead areas that are in your life. He can give life. You don't only have to can celebrate this Easter, but you can experience the power of it in your own life because he can change you. He can change your circumstance, and he can and will change your future and mine. And even if you're here and you're in a circumstance today, he not only helps you in your day today and your future, but he secures your tomorrow as well. And I love the promises of God in the scripture when it talks about eternity. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, he said, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And he replied and he said, hey, listen, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I was there when Satan began to argue with God and say that he wanted what God had and he could do what he could do. And God says, no, you're out of here. And it wasn't like something dropping off a shelf. The Bible says that when Satan fell, he fell like a streak of lightning out of heaven to the earth. He has no power over you unless you give it to him today. Oh, I'm thankful for that. He says, I saw Satan fall. And he said, I have given you authority to trample on all these things, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. But he goes on in verse 20, he says, that's not it. It's great to have victory here. But he says in verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Hey, it's a good thing. I think it is. But he says, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Woo! Amen. Praise God for that. Come on, you ought to give God a thanks for that. Because the greatest miracle that happens is not the miracles that happen on earth. It's not the resurrection that happens with earthly related things. It's the resurrection that one day you and I are going to leave this world. Now, I don't care how connected you are or not. You're not taking what you came in with you. You're going out of here naked. Did you come? Naked are you going out, baby. But I'm going to tell you the differences it make that for many of you that have given your life to Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 14 that he has made a place for you that where he is, you may be also. And the Bible says that this life that we live now is only a short time. James says that this life is like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Life. And Jesus offers more than just a better now. He gives an assurance for your tomorrow and mine. Now, I love the story in John chapter 11. You know it so well about Lazarus. We talk about resurrection. We talk about the power to raise somebody from the dead. The Bible says that Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus, who was a good friend of Jesus, was very sick unto death. And they called Jesus to come and heal him. Jesus was doing it every day. Healing this one, opening blind eyes, calling that one that couldn't walk to get up and walk. That's what he was all about. The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And they called for him. And guess what Jesus did? He stopped somewhere for 3 days. And their brother, his friend, dies. And I don't know if you've ever been upset at the Lord for not getting what you wanted when you wanted it. I have once or twice in the last week. No. But here's Martha and Mary. They're arguing and they're upset at Jesus. And here Jesus is strolling in. Lazarus, he's dead. He's been dead for 3 days. And there's a hole, and I don't want to talk much about that, but I want to give you a point onto that. Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, he'll rise again. She goes, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus looks at Martha like he looks at you and I today. And he gives her this promise that he gives to you and I today. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh, that's awesome right there. But he doesn't end that. You know, because there's always a hinge to his word. And this is what he says. And this is the most powerful words that you could ever hear in your life. And the most powerful that you could ever respond to. He said, do you believe this? You see, because you can know it. But if you don't believe it in your heart, you can't experience it. And Jesus was saying about her brother that day, as he says to you and I today, in the face of the greatest fears, the deepest enemy, the greatest obstacles that anyone could face, that he has conquered it, he has overcome it. And no matter what trial you may be facing, what heartache that just won't let go, a disappointment that seems to be overwhelming. And the Spirit of God spoke that to my heart when I was writing down those words, a disappointment that seems overwhelming, that someone is here today. Maybe it was in the first service. I think somebody's here today. That you're going through a disappointment in your life that seems to be so overwhelming. I have come to tell you today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He rose up from the grave. He took the power of that sting out of it, and you can live from here on out. He's got a plan for you. You don't have to stay drowned in that any longer. Rise up from that. Know that God's for you, and that you can be the person he's called, and he's great. Come on today. That's it. He's conquered it. And no matter what trial you're facing, what heartache that won't let you go, he's more powerful than that. And the earth's natural gravitational pull is by no means comparable to the power that raised Jesus up from the grave. Well, I love that. I read it earlier out of Romans 8:11. It's the same Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If it lives inside of you, and he wants to, he has come to live in you. He loves you. He's not upset at you. You might have gone out last night. You might have been on a woozy of a night. You came in here today, and you're cowered down because you think God's ready to get you. Contrary. He's got his arms open wide to you and say, welcome home, I love you. I don't care about what happened last night. What I care about is what happens from this day forward. Amen. He said, if that Spirit lives in you, he'll give life to your mortal body. My friends, today, no darkness, no defeat, no failure, no embarrassment, not depression. No battle that is raging inside of you today can stand aside from the power that Jesus Christ can bring into your life today. No evil, listen to me, no addiction, no demonic force has the ability to disrupt the plan that God has set in motion for you. I'm going to preach myself up in here happy. And as we sang that song this morning, life is worth the living, not because I live, not because my wife is a beautiful blonde, but because he lives. Life is worth the living just because he lives today. And the Bible says that the enemy has come against you in many ways. One way, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:7, he'll cause your enemies that come against you in one way to flee from you in seven different ways. Come on. You don't have to stay there where you're at. Listen, the adversary has been fighting against you, but he is no match for the power that God has available to you and I, to those who will believe him, to those who will bring him into their life. And Jesus himself holds the keys to your destiny. He holds the keys to your future. No one else, not the enemy. Listen, I want to tell somebody today who the enemy is just trying to put under his feet, that Jesus has put him under his feet. And the Bible says that he holds the keys to your future. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 says, Jesus said, I am he who lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And he says, I have the keys to death and to hell. No one else. He does. And because he does, you can live. You don't have to live under that weight of life, because he's not only conquered death, he's brought life to you and I here on this earth. And Jesus, I believe, comes to you and I today on Easter morning. And he tells each of us that there is hope for you. That you don't have to stay depressed and darkened by your past. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, Verse 13, he says, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind and those who have no hope. I'll bet you I've officiated maybe 1,000 funerals in my life. And I've been at ones where people, they're sad, but they have hope. And then I've been at one that are grieving because there's no hope there. And this is what Paul said after that in verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and he rose again. See, that's the difference in our lives today. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Is death difficult? Yes. But our eternal destiny is where he has our home forever. And then he says in verse 18, comfort, encourage one another with these words. Make sure you tell others that if you and I believe in Jesus and trust him with our lives, that whatever comes our way, whatever you may be facing, you have hope today. You can rise higher. You can see greater victory in your life. You can go from here to where he has called you to and a level that you couldn't ever believe. Amen. There's people all over this room today. You'll be seeing some testimonies in the weeks to come of people that were in dire straits, that were broken and wounded, and their lives were torn apart. But when Jesus came in, he began to change all of that. And you may be going through a tough time today. And know him. He hasn't left you. He hasn't changed his mind, what he wants to do. He has a great plan for you, and he's working it out. And it's not the time for you to give up or to give in. It's the time for you to just throw your shoulders back, lift up your head, look straight ahead, and just know that God's got more for me than the enemy could ever throw at me. Man, I'm happy for that today. And from here on out, you know Christ, it'll only get better. It'll only get better. You'll go through something, it'll only get better. See, you win. You win. I said you win. That's not a political statement. This is an eternal statement. You win today. But I also want to tell you that apart from him, this is the other side of this, apart from him, things will only cause you to, you'll only be stressed out more. You ever meet people, how you doing? Oh, stressed all the time. Oh, how you doing? Oh, just, oh man, beat up. Oh, can't handle it anymore. Really? Wow. I mean, I get stressed just talking about them. How you doing? Oh, this is bad. That's bad. Apart from Christ, it only gets worse. I'm sorry to bring you that news today. But that's the good news, because with him, it only gets better. Now, if you had the opportunity to be better or to not be better, wouldn't you make the decision today to say yes to Jesus? 1 John 5:13 says, these things I've written unto you that you may know, not wonder, you don't have to guess, that you may know you have eternal life, even unto you that, look at, I love how the American Standard Version says this, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. There's a lot of people, oh yeah, I believe in God. Take a poll of the country and, you know, huge percentage say they're Christians. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Singing songs don't make you a Christian. But coming into that personal relationship and believing on the name of the Son of the living God is what changes your life. It's more just about knowing him. It's having that relationship with him in your life. I want you to close your eyes today. I want you to bow your head, because I know and believe with all of my heart that God has set this moment in time for someone, for someone's today. That you don't have to leave here the way you came in here. This isn't some ploy or plug to, you know, don't leave here and say, oh, he just wants to make sure I'll come back next Sunday. Well, I'd love to see, we love people. Love people. But that's not what this is about. This is about a relationship with Jesus that will not only assure you the best life here, but see, when this day is all over with, and it will come to every one of you, Every single one of us, you'll face it. I don't care how young, how old, you'll face that. This isn't scare tactic. It's just reality today. But he calls you and I to make this decision that we may know that we have eternal life and believe on the name of the Son of the Living God. Some of you came in here today, maybe you were made to come for whatever reason. I'm a big believer in that. Make people do whatever you got to do to get them to hear the gospel. I love it. I went to church when I was a kid for years because I was infatuated with this young blonde girl. God used it. I got Jesus and the blonde. Don't leave here today and say, Pastor said if I give my heart to Jesus, I'll get a blonde. I'm going to tell you, he will give you what you need. Close your eyes. Be still. The Spirit of the Living God, he's reaching into some people. Your heart has been broken. You're overwhelmed. Some of you can't get past the embarrassment of your past. I'm talking to somebody. Maybe you're not in this building now. Maybe you're listening online later. Maybe the disappointment of what has happened to you has been so overwhelming to you that you can't get over it. You can't get around it. You can't get beyond it. But he's here to help you today. You don't need more pills. I'm not against if a doctor prescribes them. You don't necessarily need another counselor. I'm not against it. I'm for it. But at the end of the day, the only thing and the only one that will change your life is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed. I'm going to say, Pastor, I'm going through that challenge in my life today, and I just need you to pray for me. I want you to just, no one's looking around. No one's moving. I want you to just say, Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me today? Just slip your hand up. I don't want to pray for you right where you're at today. I don't want nothing from you. All I want to do is pray. Believe God for your life. He wants to help you. There's more. Come on. Put your hand up. Put it up. Yes. He's here to help you. The Spirit of the Living God is here to help you. You can put your hand down now. You're here today and maybe you've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that today. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. One more moment. Going to be all done. This could be the most important moment, not only in your life, but it may be the life of a family member. Maybe you came. Maybe a son, a daughter. Maybe even a mom or a dad is here today. You've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that before you leave. Things won't get better. You may be in the darkest moment of your life. Giving your life to Christ doesn't give you a, get out of trouble card. But I'm going to tell you, he'll walk with you in the midst of whatever trouble you're in. You never gave your heart to Christ. You want to do that today. I don't want a thing from you. All I want you to do is slip up your hand and say, Pastor Marty, pray for me right where I am. Would you do that? Put your hand up. Put it up in the house. Don't be afraid. Put it right up. God bless. There's hands. They're going up. And God's going to change your life today. I want you to know that. And I don't want you to be afraid. He's going to change your life. This is a moment you can put your hand down. I'm going to ask the prayer folk to come on down. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. I'm going to close. I'm going to pray. Benjamin, I want you to come up here, honey. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment. Let the Lord work in your heart right now. He's doing something beautiful for many of you. You may not even understand it. You don't have to. He's good like that. Some of you may be sick in your body today. Some of you may be facing and going through I just sense the Lord just say yes. Some of you have been facing deep bouts of depression, and he has come to bring peace to you today. And nobody criticizes you or judges you for that. We're just here to help you and to pray for you. For you to have that experience, for that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead to quicken, to make alive inside of you. If you're here and you're sick in your body, he wants to touch you and minister hope and life to you. If you're here and you're going through a situation within your family and your home, your spouse and you can't get along, and the enemy has been throwing all kinds of garbage up, trying to get you to go your own way. And you're here today and God says to you, that's not the answer. The answer is for you to go his way, and he'll work out all of those other things. Everyone pray with me this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life today.
I give you my life.
All of it. I don't hold any back. I give you it all. I ask you to come in now. Rejuvenate me. I give you my heart and my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. My Master and my King. Today I'll begin to live for you. All the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, for those who ask you this morning for the first time, come into their heart, I pray that, Lord, before they leave, they will do what you have asked them to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody said amen today.
Amen.